Brands Hatch beckons, but will the BMWs be back on form? This is the Brands Hatch Indy Preview.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the British Touring Car Podcast. Once again, we're in the pod room, and Sam joins me, this time on a sofa.
Yes.
It's always saying you've had a hard week at work, because the sofa comes out rather than the standing. Are you well, first and foremost?
Yeah, pretty good. I'm glad to see that the weather might have finally changed.
Well, we can't.
Dare I speak too soon, but...
We're not allowed to go racing in the wet, so obviously that's a good news. But of course, it is race week. It is Brands Hatch Indy Race Week, one of the best circuits on the calendar for me. I absolutely love this place. A, as a spectator, it's like a bowl, so you can practically see the entire way around.
Yeah.
And B, I can't think of another circuit on the calendar where every corner is fair game for an overtake.
True. Yeah, people like to take their opportunities here, don't they?
Absolutely.
But no, it is always a fun track to visit. And as you say, being in that bowl for a spectator is almost the perfect circuit in the UK for that reason, apart from probably Rockingham when we used to go there.
Absolutely. So to remind you how the lap works, we start on the Brabham straight before dropping our stomachs down Paddock Hill Bend. It's only when you've been actually at the track you see how deep that that drop is and how sheer that drop is.
And when you've walked up the gully that you have to walk up to get back up to the pit straight,
Absolutely. There's then back up the hill to the hairpin at Druids, then down Graham Hill Bend, through the Cooper Straight, up through Surtees and McLaren, into Clearways or McNeil Bend, depending on how long ago you've been watching the touring cars. That was certainly his favourite place for an overtaking manoeuvre. Through Clark Curve and you're back on the straight, and that is the lap. It is a quick lap time here. Sam, it's the usual game. Qualifying lap record?
Ingram.
No. I'll give you a second guess.
Sutton.
No. It was Colin Turkington in 2022 who set a 47.53. So again, it's well under a minute this lap. Yeah. And in terms of race?
Let's go for Turkington.
No.
Hill?
No. It was Sutton in 2023 who did a 48.28. So nearly a whole second slower than the quick qualifying lap, which is interesting. As I said, all corners are pretty much fair game for overtaking. It's a fast and frenetic circuit, and as I say, it's a very short lap, which, given the new qualifying format, could be very interesting in seeing who can get that space. Now, I say that because I went to a short go-karting track at the weekend for my brother's stag, and part of that was you had 10 laps qualifying, and then it was into the race. I only got one good lap in. By the time I tried to pace, I tried to spread out, we had a yellow flag, which closed everybody in and slowed everybody up. By the time I actually got a chance, I only got one good lap in, which is why I started fifth, but I did finish second. So, that's good.
Just getting that in there.
Get it in there early. I've made the podium. But, yeah, I think if my go-karting experience can be extrapolated and sort of blown into the more professional circuit that the touring cars is, it's going to be interesting because, as I say, it is such a short lap.
Well, you mentioned qualifying. Last year's pole sitter was Dan Kamish. He didn't have a good first time out at Donington, did he? So I'm sure he'll be looking to bounce back this time. But as you say, with that qualifying setup that we've now got with the quick six, certainly once you get down to that last six, it'll be fine. And I think the opening two sessions will be okay. I think it's that middle session where you've got 12 cars on track where we could see a few high-profile casualties, shall we say.
Particularly given that all the front-wheel drive cars have to come in. Well, they don't have to come in, but they do come in to cross tyres. I wouldn't be surprised if we see some front-wheel drives not bother with that and just take an extra warm-up lap to get rather than to cross the tyres personally, because they lose too much time and they might lose track position to get that fast lap in. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see a slight change in how they deal with that element of it this weekend.
You enjoyed the quick six qualifying format?
So far so good. We need to see a bit more to see how they work. I've got no reason to think that this won't work at the next circuit at Brands or indeed. The only one I've got real concern about is how it's going to work at Snetterton, where it's a nearly enough 2 minute lap time.
Long, isn't it?
2 minute lap time is
long.
I do worry about that slightly, but we'll worry about that in a couple of weeks' time when we get to that preview. Yep. At the minute, I think it works yourself.
Yeah, I it'll be interesting to see how much the weather affected last time out at Donington compared to what it's going to do this time out. But I think having that shorter circuit, we'll see more lap times set and we're less likely to see bigger names drop out in those, certainly the first two sessions.
Okay.
No?
I think that middle session, as you say,
the middle session.
You're saying so first, Q1A and B. Yes, but I'm with you. Sorry, I'm now with you. Yeah.
So where they're split from the FP2, I think those sessions will be okay. But it is that middle session that could be the one that's going to trip someone up.
Yeah, and I don't know if they'll look at that as the season goes on. Obviously, we mentioned last time in the review that it's slightly unfair that if you have one Q1A that's wet and Q1B that's dry, the grid is slightly unfairly jigged for the next day. But
yeah,
we'll have to see. I mean, that is luck of the draw. That's motorsport, isn't it? Yeah. That is racing. That is what can happen. So,
right, last year's winners then.
Yep, so race one was Colin Turkington from Ash Sutton from Dan Camish. So Camish started on pole and didn't finish on pole, or top spec, we're going to call it, which is, I think, really summed up his time at Napa so far, really.
Yeah, he's certainly struggled when it's come to race trim in that Napa. He's had a couple of wins along the way, but last time out of Donington, he didn't improve as much as I thought he might. We always know that Donington's a bit of his bogey track, but I'm hoping that he's going to bring back a little bit of form this weekend, especially being at Napa's home track of Brands.
Yep, race two saw Sutton from Ingram from Turkington. So, yeah, exactly who you'd expect to be at the front. And actually, the Ford Focus does go well here. I remember when it was in the Beavis Morgan red and white, rather, with Jackson, Butcher, and even Neat that weekend. Yeah. Had pretty good weekends in that car. I've done some punctures, if my memory serves me right. But
yeah, I think they just went a little bit too aggressive on the setup that weekend.
I was going to say, those drivers and aggressive. Those words don't normally go hand in hand, Sam.
I don't know what you mean.
And then race three, remarkably, Ash Sutton won that from the reverse grid. So it was Sutton from Bobby Thompson, you might remember, taking the podium.
Yeah.
Tom Ingram third. Now, at time of recording, Wednesday, we've had no news or suggestions that BMW are in that third car this weekend, which means that, at the very least, they're going to be missing two rounds of the season.
Yeah, it's all gone a bit radio silence on that, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I would have thought there would have been more rumours if there was going to be someone to fill the seat, if not this weekend, then at least Snetterton in 2 weeks' time, or just over 2 weeks' time. But it's worrying that there isn't anything in the rumour mill, from my point of view anyway.
Well, yeah, I agree to a point. BMW are obviously probably the most prestigious, well-run team on the grid insofar as history of the sport goes. And obviously, that's not to take away from something like Napa, but this is BMW, this is Team BMW. And I think, as such, they conduct all their business in private. Mm. I think it's much more likely to get announced. Oh, by the way, such and such is now racing for the rest of the season. There's a fairly sort of simple announcement. It's not like them to really engage in the room. Even in the off season, we didn't really get any rumours over who was taking over Jelly's seat, if anyone. It's all kept fairly stum. What's concerning for me is that there's lots of drivers not on the grid who could be on the grid.
Yeah.
And obviously none of them are at BMW. Now, is that because of cost, or is that because of BMW have got a very specific style driver in mind?
It's all possible.
You think of some of the names that aren't on the grid. I'm just going top of my head. Bobby Thompson, Jack Goff, and I had it in my head then and I forgot it already. Yeah, there you go, Senna Proctor, thank you very much. Yeah, so
he was at Media Day as well.
He was, yeah. So there's three names straight off the bat, and there's plenty more that you could come up with. You know, it's not difficult to come up with those names. Stephen Jelly obviously intimated in his Porsche interviews last weekend that it was purely financial reasons why he wasn't on the touring car grid, and that's why he's now at Porsche.
Yeah.
That's the same reason most likely for Lloyd as well. So it's a slightly worrying trend that of all teams, BMW can't fit it.
Yeah, but as you say, BMW, they want to pick the right driver, and I'm assuming that driver's got to bring at least a certain percentage of backing. Obviously not as much because they are a manufacturer team, but we'll see how it develops over the season. Are you expecting anything big, important or major to happen this weekend in terms of the racing?
Nope.
No?
No. I can't see anything other than the big four drivers dominating this season, and those four being Sutton, Ingram, Hill and Turkington. I really can't see. Maybe race three will get a few extra with different winners this year with the way the hybrid's working.
Don't forget that from race two this weekend, we're going to have the hard tyre introduced. Four drivers that have finished so far up the grid, and then they have to put a hard tyre on, so to make it more difficult for them to keep winning that second race and taking those 1-2 victories. We didn't see that at Donington, and we saw Ingram quite comfortably take that win in race two. But I do wonder whether the tyre strategy will change things up going forward.
I have my doubts. Okay. Due on the basis that we had tyres, albeit they weren't, it was discretion when they were used last year, and yep. Sutton was no different really on the worst tyre than he was the good tyre. The teams at the front are clever enough and well equipped enough to have setups to account for those different tyres. I think all it necessarily possibly or it possibly does is disadvantage the newer teams like Restart Racing, who won't have that data. Obviously, they've got to get into that part to be forced to run them anyway, but or a PMR or something like that. I think that punishes them more than it punishes Napa or Bristol Street or BMW, as they all have set up to account for that.
We are going to have the different levels of hybrid in qualifying this time out as well, based on championship order. I don't see Brands Indy as being that much of a critical track for hybrid because of the speeds that you're travelling at to then activate it. I think it's going to be used very little around the track, mainly on those two straights, and that's about it. So I don't think there'll be much to take from that being taken away in qualifying.
Not in qualifying. In the race, you might see a few more moves being lined up into paddock or clearways through the hybrid on the straights. But yeah, this is not really... This is a traction track and a speed track rather than that hybrid addition. I don't want to sound too down on the season already, because but Donington was very much billed as this fresh start and the whole new era of race touring cars had begun, and yet it was the same winners on the podium. Well, apart from Moffitt in race three, to be fair. But race one and two was basically exactly what you'd expect it to be. And even in race three, Sutton, Hill and Ingram came through the field in the way that they're not supposed to be able to do. I do think we're going to see more race threes being won by non-big four drivers this year, though.
We know the Cooperas go well at Brands. We saw that last time out with Bob Thompson, as you mentioned, getting a podium. Dan Lloyd had a 10th, a 14th and an 11th. Do you see Smiley, Sumpton or De Leon doing anything more than they did last weekend?
Oh, I think so. I mean, as we discussed on the preview for Donington, the point system now is, I think it's too easy to score points. So I think something like Sumpton, who didn't score points at Donington, probably could and arguably should this weekend. I mean, in my prediction, I've gone for a particular driver to score points. I do think that the way the Brands is so quick and it's so easy to get sort of a lap together and much in the race, that is, there's plenty of passing opportunities. I think that Restart will be aiming for a top 10 this weekend at some point with Smiley. Get something on the points scoring board. And for DeLion, I think he'll be targeting a top 10 finish this weekend as well, personally. It's going to be dry all weekend. I've had a look at the weather. It's going to be hot and dry. There's going to be a little bit of rain potentially today. But by the time we get to Saturday, Sunday, that's going to make no difference at all, to be honest with you. I don't see a Cooper on the podium this year, if I'm being totally honest, unless something dramatic
happens.
I think Smiley is the most likely of the three. But I think, for them, it's all about point scoring this weekend. It's all about making sure their drivers are getting the points.
Shall we have a look towards some predictions then?
Yep, absolutely. So for pole position, you have gone for?
I have gone for Ash Sutton. I think Napa Alliance Racing are going to have a mega weekend. One, because it's their home track and they're used to doing some testing around here and stuff. Two, because of how well they went last season. Obviously, Ash took a double win, one of which was the reverse grid race. Kamish took a pole. Turkington was the only other driver that got close and took that win. And I just think, I just have this inkling that they'll do well again.
Okay. I'll go for Ingram. That lap he did, albeit around the full GP loop, still hasn't left my body a couple of years ago. He goes well here. And when it comes to the qualifying, I think people are going to struggle this weekend to get into the top six in session two. And I think that somebody like Sutton, track limits will not be his friend here. And I think that, again, I said this about Donington, was slightly correct. I'm looking at who do I trust the most to be sensible enough to make sure he doesn't get track limits that loses time. And I think Sutton and Hill, I don't trust enough. Turkington, probably, but I'm not sure he's as quick as Ingram these days. So on that note, on that basis, I'm on to Ingram.
I've gone all in this weekend.
You have?
I have. I've gone for a Sutton double win. And I know I've just talked about the possible tyre strategy and hybrid making a difference, but I don't think it's going to make enough of a difference around Brands, especially the Indy circuit. So I've gone for a Sutton double win and then Camish to take a win as well.
Okay, so I'm spreading my bets. I am going for a Sutton win as well. I think that's almost inevitable at some point. I think Colin Turkington will take a win this weekend. It's a track he goes well at, and I think he'll want to make sure he's in the title fight throughout the season rather than sort of slowly building up and then never really getting started. So I can see a race win this weekend for him. And I think race three will continue to deliver those, quote, surprise wins, and that's why I've gone for Josh Cook in race three.
Okay.
Hang about, we're in the Cook position in race one and two, and then get the reverse grid. And we know the Toyota goes well here, and they've had a really good start to the season with Moffat taking a win at Donington last time out. So, yeah, let's go for Josh Cook this weekend on that one. And then Jack Sears, I noticed you haven't put all your faith in Napa for that.
No, I've changed tact on that one. I think Pearson was unlucky last weekend. Obviously, he had those issues with the power steering, and therefore it kind of curtailed his point scoring effort at Donington. But up until then, he was running really well ahead of his other Jack Sears competitors, and I just think he's going to have the edge all season.
I mean, unlucky doesn't quite cover Osborne being fired off into turn. Having his race two written off.
Yeah, but, true.
So I've gone for Osborne this weekend. I think that the Napa car will be the best on the grid in terms of Jack Sears' competition. So yeah, I've gone for him. Okay, so in terms of our general predictions, I think somebody will score a triple podium.
Okay, yep.
So we'll have a driver.
A single driver
will score a triple podium, yeah. I think that one of the big four, so that being Sutton, Turkington, Hill and Ingram, misses out on the top six shootout.
Ooh.
One of the four.
Ooh, okay.
I'm not saying
I like that. I like that.
Yeah, thank you very much. And just to really annoy you, really, I think Nick Alsa gets points this weekend. I really do. The Hyundai's quick round here. It's a circuit that's not too difficult. It's not technical, is it? You just need to...
Let's just hope he doesn't chuck himself off into...
But again, Brands Hatch normally sees retirees, right? Mm. You only need to finish, to say, 15th, which if you start last, you only need to make up five places, which is not difficult in this kind of racing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go for Nick Houser gets points.
So my three are that the LKQ Euro Car Parts half of Toyota...
With Synetic,
will outscore Toyota Gazoo Racing Boys this weekend.
Yeah, I can see that.
They looked handy, didn't they, at Donington?
They did.
And I just think they're going to have that little bit of consistency, and I think it's going to be tight, but I think they'll just about do it.
Tough pole and double wing.
And I've probably doubled up again. On top of that, I've gone for Cook to have three top 10 finishes.
Dear me. You might as well say a car will come out of the garage. Blimey, I mean, that's almost guaranteed, isn't it?
And then my final one is a Napa car on the podium that isn't Sutton.
Okay.
So bearing in mind how fairly dominant we've had Ingram, Sutton, Hill and Turkington, I think if we see another Napa car on the podium, it will be...
Now, to clarify, this is not Osborne winning the Jack Sears.
No, this is on the full race podium.
Yep.
If we either see Camish, Robottom or Osborne on there,
yes,
then that counts as a point.
Okay. I'd say mine are slightly more adventurous than you. Maybe next, I need to say, you know, we will see a car go through the mob hole. There will be a red car on the grid.
I don't know why, but I find it more difficult to pick out
ones
this season because there are less cars.
Smaller grid and more predictable racing, so I've tried to be a little bit cleverer.
And for the final one this week, I've gone for something a little bit different. So when we get a safety car come out on circuit, we get a maximum of three laps added on for each race. Therefore, as you said... Brands known for a few incidents because it's such a short circuit.
Even. Say that three times.
Yeah, fast. I know. And after some drinks.
Been working.
I think we're likely to see a safety car.
I would agree.
So I'm going to go for how many laps we're going to have added on over the weekend.
Okay.
So between zero... and nine.
Yep.
So we don't see a safety car if there's zero, and then obviously three per race can be added on.
Yep.
What have you gone for?
Seven. It's a short circuit. It's going to take a long time to recover cars. I think that if the safety car comes out for anything that's not debris sweeping, you're looking at two laps minimum, just because you've got to snatch and get cars out.
Yep.
And if they dig in, I know it's not going to be wet, but if they dig in the gravel down Paddock Hill Bend or damage a tyre barrier, yeah, I think you're looking at three laps. I think you're a minimum of two laps if a safety car comes out. So
I've gone for five.
Okay.
Are we going for a point for closest?
Point for closest.
2 points for exact?
I'll say that now. That'll be cross. I didn't go for three when it comes to when I get seven. Let's go hard, go home. We're a big boy podcast now. We'll go three points
for exact. Yeah. Okay. I'll play to that.
There's trophies on the line here.
Yeah, do let us know your predictions as well, along with the safety car one at the end. And let us know in the comments below or on our social media, anything that you'd like to let us know, drop us a comment.
Yeah, there's only one last thing to really mention on the preview, that race one is at 11:50, race two is at 2:30, and race three is at 5:15. We have got some great support action this weekend, including action from the Legends. The Porsches have got an extra race to account for the Donington Park washout. We've got the Minis and we've got the F4s as well. I am going to be slightly away from the telly this weekend as I've got to go to a christening, which is...
You'll have to bear with me.
Sam will be giving you his thoughts on the TikTok after each race. He'll be giving you 60-second race reviews on there, so make sure you're following our TikTok for that. There's also going to be a load of content, he assures me, being posted this week ahead of race week, so make sure you are following our TikTok for any race week content.
Yeah, qualifying is at 3:25 on Saturday, again live on YouTube, so do make sure that you catch that. Obviously the qualifying session now a little bit longer than we'd be used to, but hopefully plenty of action. Anything else to add?
I look forward to watching the races either on TikTok in the back of the church or sneaking off to a back room to watch them. But yeah, obviously we'll be doing the review next week. And I hope you have a good weekend's racing.
Yeah, enjoy it, everyone, and we'll be back soon.